Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you have a problem that's been difficult to diagnose or treat, Dr. Donna can give a second opinion to help you and your vet keep your pets healthy. Email your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content, and is brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that makes Amino Active, proven safe and effective for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. This show is also brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food has come true. Halo's new pate-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Well, Dr. Donna, you are the expert vet, and here's one that's a stumper for me. Nothing stumps you. It's great to be with you again, and thank you, as always, for your time. I met a wonderful new pal in the woods walking in Vermont, and she had these two gorgeous black labs with her, one belonging to her sister, one belonging to her, and began to tell me a story about this beautiful, from a local, well-thought-of breeder of labs, this female's story, and she started talking about a vulvoplasty like it was, yeah, this happens. I'm like, really? I've never heard of that. What is that? So you have the records of all the things that this dog went through. Mm-hmm. So if you would, better, usually I'll say, well, this is what happened to Felix and so forth and so on. Right. But since this gal did such a great job of describing what had happened to Addie, her dog, can you go through it and talk about what you would have thought or what you think about what this dog went through and what was going on, that at 10 weeks old, she starts with urinary tract infection. So we'll go through the story and the lesson for everybody else is, you know, do female dogs leak urine? And if they do it young, what does that mean? And so there's going to be a lesson for the rest of us, even though this is a pretty, I hope, unique situation in a bad way.
Well, not all that unique, but we will talk about it.
Oops.
So apparently this young dog at about 10 weeks of age, started exhibiting, you know, urinary tract infections, and they would go on antibiotics. It would clear up the infection. As soon as she came off, she would get another infection. And this went on, it sounded like, for several times.
Yes.
Her veterinarian, very astute, identified that her external girl parts, what we call the vulva.
Okay, that's very well put. I like that. What we see in our girls if we have hairless girls.
Exactly, or if you kind of dig around down
right.
there. That's called the vulva. That's the external anatomy. The veterinarian noticed that it looked small and kind of rolled or tucked in. And that actually is a very common abnormality. It's a what we call conformational abnormality. It's just the parts didn't come together quite as well as they should have. It's not big enough for as big of the dog. And I don't know why that is so common, but we do see it quite a bit. So her veterinarian was very astute to that and said, you know, sometimes if we even let these dogs go through a heat cycle, sometimes that vulva increases the blood flow. It kind of pops out a little bit. You know, I mean, there are sometimes we get them closer to their sexual maturity and we can see that defect kind of resolve, if you will. So they talked about letting her do that. However, it seemed to be getting worse and worse and worse, not better, as she approached spaying age, so around that 6-7 months time. So the veterinarian actually did spay her and did what's called a vulvoplasty, which means, fancy word for, you take a little skin incision, you actually are removing a little strip of skin on either side of the vulva.
Ouch.
And you sew it together, and it actually causes it to come out. It pops it out, if you will, so that it's no longer rolled in, tucked in, or a problem like that.
Just so we're clear, being tucked in, if the vulva is tucked in, it forms a little pocket or a flap, right, in which urine can get trapped and cause.
That's exactly right. And we all know that there are bacteria present on the skin. That's normal. So when the vulva is rolled in, that skin allows bacteria to run right up into the vulva, into the urinary bladder.
I see.
So it is a common cause of recurrent infection. So this veterinarian was very astute to be thinking about this in the first place. Unfortunately, after the procedure was done, she still had urinary tract infections. And this veterinarian, again, I think they did a fantastic job. They sent her to Tufts University to get a further look at, because whenever we have a dog who is less than 1 year of age, so babies,
yes,
in dogs that are young and they keep getting recurrent infections, or they're leaking, or they have obvious defects, you know, like the external parts of her weren't quite right. These dogs often have many congenital abnormalities. They often have internal defects as well. Some of these dogs will have abnormal positioning of the bladder. They may have what's called ectopic ureters, which is the plumbing from the kidney down to the bladder is incorrect, and again, it can lead to chronic infections. There's just a number of abnormalities that can be congenital defects, and congenital defect by nature means it wasn't bad breeding. It's just like, oops,
bad luck. Bad
luck. And unfortunately, a dog that has one problem often has multiple. So if you have one congenital defect, there's often many that go with it.
In that part of the body, let's say.
Yeah, in that part of the body. Okay, so they sent her to the specialty center. They looked, they made sure she didn't have abnormal bladder, kidneys, ureters. I mean, they really did the thing they should have done. All these things are to make sure.
Now, so, just to ask, she lives in Vermont and Tufts is in, you know, near Boston, right? So that was a heck of a trip.
Yes.
Could someone's own vet do the ultrasound and the scope, or should it be done either at a veterinary hospital or at a specialty facility?
You know, the types of scopes that are used to get into the urinary bladder are really going to only be found at a specialty sort of center. A general veterinary office just doesn't have the use for that, and they're incredibly expensive. The teeny ones that get into the bladder. Likely you are still dealing with a specialty referral center. So they looked at everything and they said, well, let's try another round of antibiotics, clear up this infection. Let's just see. Well, then this owner, noticed a few months down the road, she noticed while the dog was lying there that there was a little tiny puddle of urine on the floor where she was lying. So she promptly called her veterinarian, and the vet said, she could have a loose flabby sphincter of the urethra, which is the closure between the bladder and where the urine comes out of the vulva.
Now, before we go on, this is something, if I recall, with older dogs, female spayed dogs of my own, that can happen with an older female, call it 6, 7, 8 years of age, that they begin to leak a little urine, and this is sort of expected, is maybe not the right word, but it's something that you might see in older spayed females. Is that right?
It is most common, actually, in young to middle-aged, but that means about 3 to 8. That's in the 3 to 8 time frame.
That's 3 to 8 years old is actually the most common time to see it begin. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. So we're at this point at which this dog's been on antibiotics for 3-month periods. I also want to talk to you a little bit about, is it possible that they picked the wrong antibiotic? I would guess not. They seem to be really on top of it. But that's another question we should always ask, right, when an infection doesn't clear up. We'll be right back after this quick word from one of our sponsors.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you by Actify, a new joint supplement for dogs made right here in the United States, powered by an extract of blue-green algae from Oregon. It comes as a tasty, soft chew that invites you to take the Actify Challenge. See an improvement in your dog's mobility and attitude over 1 month, or they'll refund your purchase price. You have nothing to lose, and your dog has everything to gain. Like my own old dog, Jazzy, who often didn't even lift her head off her bed until Actify brought her back to life and restored her positive energy. Actify. Unleash the power of blue-green algae at activphy.com and put Actify Friends at checkout for $10 off. We are also supported by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets that works directly with veterinarians to create a custom version. Does your pet hate the taste of a pill? Is it too large to get down? Or do you have cats who are famously anti-pill? Best Pet RX can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid. They guarantee to keep trying formulations at no extra charge until they create a flavor your pet will actually like. Have your vet contact Best Pet RX Compounding Pharmacy so giving medicine can be successful and pleasant, and your pet will get well and stay well.
We are back. Dr. Donna, before we go on to the rest of the story and, you know, how to manage Addie for the rest of her life, what about the antibiotics that are used? If you had helped me many, many shows ago with a recurrent infection that Scooby-Doo had that turned out to be an antibiotic-resistant infection, not urinary tract, but just, you know, on his skin. And the question is, if... Should you change up the antibiotics? Should a culture be done? Are we assuming that it was done since so many other things were done well? If you have 3 months on an antibiotic and then the infection comes back, you've taught us on this show that that means that there's that's sometimes the wrong antibiotic or the wrong diagnosis.
Right. So in this particular situation, I mean, anytime you, it's okay the like the very first time if a dog comes in and has a bladder infection, signs, you know, blood in the urine, straining to urinate, it's okay one time to say, eh, most of these infections are this organism, this bacteria. You try a sample course, if you will. But if it doesn't work, that's when a complete urinalysis and a culture should be done. And I can almost guarantee, although we didn't have complete records of this particular pet, the fact that they were, you know, doing the things they were and they were doing things so completely and they had been to Tufts. And I guarantee this dog probably had an appropriate culture. But I think that's a really important take-home message for everyone out there listening. If there's an infection in your dog's skin, your dog's bone, your dog's bladder, your dog's ear, your dog's anything, and it's not responding to therapy as expected, there's a couple of problems. One is maybe we absolutely need to do a culture, make sure we're using the correct antibiotic, or there's another problem. There's a bone plate on that's infected. There's a bladder stone in the bladder that keeps getting infected.
Absolutely.
There's usually something going wrong, you know, in there might be another problem. So one of those two things is usually the case, wrong antibiotic, or there's a predisposing factor to infection. That's why it keeps coming back.
And that's just, that's a lesson that you've taught me and all of us over time. And I think it's, although in this case, she got what sounded like really excellent, aggressive, you know, insertive, if you will, veterinary care. We do have to be the guardians of our dogs. And there are vets who just simply stay the course. They see the white line in the middle of the road and they stay on it and they keep giving the same antibiotic or going, well, we'll do another 3 months or another 3 months. And I think you've taught us that if it doesn't work over 6 or 8 or 10 weeks, then there's something wrong with this picture, and it's not
And this is a perfect example of that.
Yes.
They treated the infections. It didn't come back. They did the vulva surgery. The infection came back. They sent her to Tufts to look and make sure there weren't other abnormalities, and the infection came back. And then she started leaking urine. So, I mean, they kept saying there's something still going on, and they were very persistent in their workup. Obviously, that is expensive to do it as well, but there was clearly something still going on in this particular dog causing recurrent infection, and they kept on it all the whole entire time. And this is where an owner's observations become such an important, critical part of the picture. She noticed the dog was lying on the floor, and there was a little tiny puddle. Now, at the end of the day, wouldn't you know that this dog ended up having what we call urethral sphincter incompetence, or, you know, this leaky sphincter. Now, that is most common, not in a young dog like she was. It's more common in the 3 to 8 years old category. And up until very far into her workup, she hadn't been reported to be leaking. You know, she hadn't reported her to be laying on the floor with a puddle of urine. So, you know, the observations, you know, whenever your dog is doing something, make sure to try to observe everything about them. You know, maybe it was happening a lot less early on, or maybe it wasn't happening at all. But eventually she noticed the little tiny puddle of urine on the floor. The vet said, well, that's really typical of this urethral sphincter problem. We're going to put you on medicine for that. And it can be a congenital issue. There are some breeds that this sphincter incontinence happens before they're ever even spayed. So now, it's not now, always it, spay related.
Would a later spaying, since we've talked about it a lot on many of the shows on Radio Pet Lady Network, about delayed spaying and neutering being on a carefully monitored, carefully owned dog that's under one's control, that delaying spaying and neutering till a year old, especially in a larger breed dog, may be an important health contributor to lowering the incidence of cancer and also lowering the incidence of joint and other diseases. In this case, would an earlier spay be the solution rather than waiting longer? Or is it really a case by case?
It's a case by case. And there's, you know, some dogs that are spayed very, very young, we feel like they may have more urinary issues.
Right.
But spaying them later in life isn't shown to be protective either.
I see. So okay. And what about a breeding dog? Do breeding dogs that are kept intact till they're 4, 5, 6 years old, do they tend, leaving aside the fact that they're at higher risk for uterine cancer or maybe mammary cancer, do they, or not cancer, but infection, right? Mm-hmm. They get
uterine infections, yep.
Okay. Do their urinary sphincters, are they more powerful? Are they more competent? Because I know women who've had a number of babies, 3 and 4, and they laugh or cough and go, oh, my God, I'm leaking. And I feel so bad for them because they're like, you know, 30 years old.
Right.
Is this something that can happen to anybody after childbirth? Or does lack of childbirth mean that you're less likely to leak? I mean, I'm just curious. Most people don't breed their dogs.
Right, exactly. So we don't have a large pool from which to look. But, no, they can. You're absolutely right. Having had trauma through the pelvic canal of birthing, those dogs have just as high of incidence because of other issues, you know, so it doesn't really enter into the picture. But we do know that generally this urethral sphincter stuff, it is rare in a dog less than a year of age. You know, when her problem started, it doesn't mean it's impossible, because there are definitely breeds, giant schnauzers, boxers, dobies. There's a lot of those dogs that actually they develop incontinence in a leaky sphincter before they're ever even spayed. So it definitely happens as a congenital defect. But those other things they evaluated her for were more likely in her age group.
Right.
So they did a really nice workup in this dog. And although the owner, I'm sure, was like, oh, my gosh, they still haven't figured it out. They did, you know, common things happen commonly at the right, you know, at a certain age. So they did the right workup for the signs that she was exhibiting. But then, lo and behold, she started exhibiting other signs as the path went, you know, was traveled. So she ended up with sphincter incontinence. And the reason that is the problem is because, just think, it's like it's supposed to be a sphincter that's holding closed, and hers is just open and flabby. So all the bacteria just travel from the hind end area, which is the perineum, because there are normally bacteria there anyways. And when dogs defecate, you know, let's be honest, there's a little bit of bacteria that are always on that hind end. Those bacteria just run right up into the external genitalia, right up into the bladder.
Wow.
So those can cause recurrent infections. So it's totally prudent for all of you out there who are listening. If your dog, young to middle-aged dog who's spayed is having recurrent infections, talk to your vet about the possibility of loose, flabby sphincters, the urethral sphincter mechanism problem. Because many dogs go on to sphincter tighteners. One of the medicines is called Proin. They go on to these things that help tighten up the sphincter, and voila, the infections don't ever come back. And that's what happened, fortunately, to this dog. They put her on Proin to tighten the sphincter, and she hasn't had an infection since.
But here's the question, which after a quick break we have to come back to. The amount of Proin is something that she's playing with because there's still some leakage, but she's seeing fatigue. She's seeing undesirable side effects. And the dog's only four. So the question is, what is the right dosage? Is there another medicine she can use that doesn't have these side effects that might be safe? When we come back, let's find out if Proen is the only one. I used to use something else years ago with my leaky girl, but maybe it was the generic of Proen, or maybe Proen's more modern, but maybe there are choices. Dr. Donna will tell us. We'll be right back.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is also supported by Halo, holistic natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And the new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner. Halo's super low-carb pate-style canned cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrates, respecting the obligate carnivore's need for quality protein. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by a company who've had great success with their product for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. Our shows are also brought to you by Probiotic Miracle, a concentrated probiotic powder formulated specifically for dogs and cats of all ages to help sustain a healthy balance of flora in their digestive tract. Made in the USA with 6 guaranteed species of beneficial bacteria, Probiotic Miracle is the natural way to bring lasting wellness to your pet with improved breath and body odor, better nutrient absorption and digestion, better skin and coat, and healthy elimination of toxins in their system. Probiotic Miracle will eliminate diarrhea, yeast, loose stool, and skin issues, and is free of wheat, gluten, dairy, animal products, fillers, or flavorings, and is non-GMO. They even have a money-back guarantee. Try Probiotic Miracle for a full 60 days, and if you're not completely satisfied, you can return your purchase for a 100% refund. Plus, you get 15% off by going to the Probiotic Miracle page on RadioPetLady.com.
So here's Addie, started out on 25 milligrams of Proen morning and night. So that's 50 a day. Mm-hmm. No UTIs, no more urinary tract infections at all, but there was some leakage. So her owner increased the dose to 1.5 pills or 37 milligrams morning and night. But she found that when she increased this dose, her dog seemed fatigued. That's the word she's using, fatigue. Is that a known side effect of Proen?
Yeah, the most common side effects are Proen, because it's working on the nervous system, if you will. And one of the most concerning side effects is that it can cause high blood pressure.
Ooh.
And so when you think about high blood pressure, some people think that you'd be all jazzed up, you know, like, crazy.
No.
But some dogs will become very, you know, can become lethargic. It is always recommended before you start Proen that you check a blood pressure, and that you check it as soon as they've been on it for about a week, and then that you check the blood pressure intermittently, because it, or certainly if you ever change dosages, you really should be checking blood pressure.
Wow. So this is not something someone should do on their own yet again.
No.
Because I'm that person who goes, so, you know, she's itching a lot, I'll give her another Benadryl. But really, we don't understand that there is, and in the case of high blood pressure, be it human or animal, it's the silent killer, if you will, in people, because it doesn't exhibit itself except for if you check it and you go, oh my goodness.
Right.
Now, checking, so at the beginning of starting Proen, soon thereafter, and any dosage change. So she's found that she's still getting a little bit of leakage, giving 37 milligrams morning and night.
Mm-hmm.
She says,
and I'll just say, for a lab, that sounds like a low dose.
Ah.
I don't know how big the lab is, but
she's,
you know,
I'd say she's 60 pounds.
Okay. Yeah, because it's, you know, in which case, you know, I didn't know what her exact size, but yeah, then probably 40 to 50 milligrams would be, you know, would be a good dose for her. But keep in mind, some people, you know, it's all often dosed 3 times a day.
Oh, I see. So you spread it out more.
Yeah. Instead, 40 to 50 milligrams 3 times a day.
Oh, more actually, not 50 milliliters.
But again, if she's already having some side effects from it, that wouldn't be appropriate for her. So the answer is, although about 85 to 90% of dogs with the sphincter problem have an excellent response to Proen, many of them respond really well, there are indeed other therapies. And if the Proen is, let's say, for example, having... they don't like the signs at the 37,
yes,
then you can drop it back down and use something with it.
Like?
And that often gives you better continence at lower incidence of side effects. The other medicine that we use, as you might imagine, is an estrogen therapy.
Yes.
Because this, a lot of times, is related to spay incontinence. Now, this dog wasn't incontinent prior to her
That's
spay.
That's right. That's
Remember,
right.
she was
yes.
just having infections. Her incontinence appeared to show up after her spay, which is what we expect. And so estrogen therapy often works really, really well. Now, there was, for years and years, what we used was something called DES.
That's right.
Which is called diethylstilbestrol.
Right.
It's no longer available on the human market. We can still get it as veterinarians, but it has to be compounded, which we've talked about compounding.
Right.
You know, that's a whole other story.
Well, we have the great Best Pet RX as one of the sponsors
right.
on the network that compounds everything and makes right. it delicious. So you could right. get it compounded.
Oh, yeah. And we had for years and years and years. But just recently, within the last couple of years, there is a new FDA approved.
Wow.
Estrogen therapy, specifically FDA approved for use in dogs, and it's called Incurin.
I-N-C-U?
I-N-C-U-R-I-N, Incurin.
Wow.
And it's essentially, it's a natural estrogen, so, but it's, you know, similar to that old DES therapy that's not FDA approved. You have to get it compounded. Not every pharmacy is going to compound the way you want it.
So it's a lot of work.
But in there's FDA approval on this Incurin as well, which is a whole... there is benefits to that. There's a reporting of side effects. There's
right.
this, there's that, you know, there's,
right.
it's nice. It's nice to have FDA approval. And it's, you know, and again, when you talk about estrogen therapy, I mean, all these drugs are going to have potential side effects, but you need to use them at appropriate dosages. And often, like I said, you can use Proen at a little lower dose and the Incurin at a low dose. And then these dogs have really good continence, you know, less urine leaking. So, but all the estrogens, you know, as possibilities, you can have a little bit of enlargement of the vulva. Some dogs can, female dogs might start attracting male dogs a little bit. Because if you think about it, you're giving them estrogen.
Wow.
Some dogs will even have minor vaginal bleeding. You know, it's almost like they're going through a heat.
I'll be darned.
But again, these are, you know, they're
very
not
uncommon.
Common.
Well, if you're,
and
but
then,
if she's on, I'm sorry, finish your thought.
And then in rare instances, there can be the development of anemia because estrogen can be toxic to the bone marrow.
Oh, my God. So you have to check. You have to keep on top of it.
That's the whole point. And if there's anything trending, if there's anything that looks amiss, you know, you deal with that. So these drugs do need to be monitored, whether it's Proen, whether it's estrogen therapy. And again, I often help eliminate side effects by using both, but at low doses.
Now,
they have a better synergistic sort of effect.
Because in this case, she was still getting leakage on what she had increased the Proen without having been told by her vet that she didn't mention any blood pressure. She talked mm-hmm. about fatigue, and that kind of confused me. Hard to imagine a young, you know, lab fatigued. I've been on walks with her. That dog's about as far from fatigued as, you know, as a jack-in-the-box. But... she notices it at home. She's aware of it. So that's a side effect that could be showing the hidden high blood pressure, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, blood pressure is something that is almost never taken at your vet's office. I understand that with cats, it's like a nightmare to do. But with dogs, not super easy either, or is it pretty easy? You takes time.
Yeah, I mean, it is technically simple, but, you know, the vet has to have the device. They have, and I will tell you, it is becoming more and more and more common that general veterinary practices have blood pressure. They're using them during surgery for monitoring of
right.
anesthesia. So a lot, I mean, most practices do have the ability to measure blood pressure.
But I think that she either hasn't reported this fatigue to the vet, or
right.
the vet hasn't put together fatigue equals potentially high blood
right.
pressure, and therefore putting the dog at some health jeopardy. So
mm-hmm.
this dog not only needs the blood pressure monitored on a regular, would you say monthly basis? Is that about?
Not so common. Generally, if it's going to show up, I mean, we check before, we check a week after.
I see.
And then usually once every 3 months, you know, is probably
oh, good.
Sufficient. Yeah.
And what about the blood test for the possible anemia once she brings some estrogen on board?
Yep. We check it once they've started their therapy. We usually check it in a couple, like 2 weeks, and then a month later, and then again every 3 to 4 months.
Okay. So whenever you've got your dog on medication long term, I guess we really can't think of it as benign. Even if it gives you 100% satisfaction, which this Proen is not even giving, mm-hmm. we still need to have once every 4 times a year or twice a year, have mm-hmm. a blood check, because having mm-hmm. be on medication year round can have side effects.
Right. And then just one more shout out about these leaky dogs, if you will. There are also some surgical or other procedures that can be done. And again, this is if they fail Proen, fail estrogens, they fail them together when used together.
Right.
And again, a lot of dogs go on both and they need both. But there are also, we can do injections of like collagen or
wow.
other bulking agents. Think about, women that get their lips done or this done. You kind of put more tissue in there.
Inside the vagina to the sphincter.
To the sphincter, we can do injections
wow.
of bulking agents. There's also other surgical procedures that can help improve tone. So, there are some other procedures, again, specialty procedures that can be done to help if a dog is failing medical management. So I just wanted to mention those briefly.
It's good to know because, you have a dog you love. The dog's at the beginning of her life, not even at the middle or the end.
Mm-hmm.
And long-term management, it's almost better a stitch in time saves 9 if that is an option.
Mm-hmm.
And yet again, if you have health insurance, those of you listening, this is why you get pet insurance, because you never know when something bizarre and weird could crop up that can cost you tens of thousands of dollars and is not cancer and isn't theoretically life-threatening, but quality of life is a really big issue. So write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com if you want any help in figuring out which company is good to use. You want one with the least amount of fine print as possible. You don't want mm-hmm. one that says later, that's not covered, the dog is X age, and calls things, genetic problems when they actually aren't. That's a physiological problem. So that's an important thing to know. And then one quick shout out to one of our network sponsors, Probiotic Miracle. When a dog is on this much antibiotics, Donna, for so mm-hmm. many actually years, mm-hmm. 3 months mm-hmm. at a time, what is your recommendation for when to give those probiotics? If he's only on it for 10 days, then you can give it for the weeks afterwards. But what if mm-hmm. it's on for 3 months? I know you can't or should not give it at the same time as the antibiotic, because the antibiotic is killing off healthy bacteria in the gut mm-hmm. while killing mm-hmm. off the dangerous ones. When mm-hmm. when is your recommendation to give the probiotics for a dog on long-term antibiotic therapy?
Well, depending on the antibiotic that the patient is on, I sometimes will use probiotics at the same time, because not every antibiotic is going to kill off all
those really?
Beneficial bacteria, not necessarily.
Interesting.
And also keeping in mind the volume of the billions of probiotic bacteria, you're still going to have some beneficial level of them potentially. So sometimes I do use them at the same time, or certainly if I have a dog that's already got some GI sensitivity, they're prone to diarrhea and
right.
they're on antibiotics, like that's a whole different story. But otherwise, a dog like this who's on many months of antibiotics, I would use probiotics solid for the next month.
Afterwards, you can mm-hmm. use it during, and then you continue afterwards mm-hmm. in every meal for mm-hmm. the next several months. It takes that long to build back up that healthy colony.
I just think to reestablish
yes.
normal sort of flora. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a wonderful product. It's made just for pets. It's called Probiotic Miracle, and you can find it on RadioPetLady.com. And we're going to ask the company to send some to Donna so she can try it on any critters that seem to be in need of it. It did help my Maisie. And in our next show, before we talk about elevated liver enzymes, which is a big issue and really feeds into what you're saying mm-hmm. about dogs on long-term therapy like my Jazzy, who I haven't had her liver enzymes checked mm-hmm. very recently, bad me. The whole idea of overall health and what you were able to do for Maisie, who was just a diarrhea factory and is now off of everything except for Probiotic Miracle and the wonderful Halo healthy weight management food that has that really good fiber in it. So mm-hmm. it's just to let people know, if you follow Dr. Donna's advice and you want specific support and advice for any issue you're going through, but particularly digestive ones, which make life really miserable for everyone, there is light at the end of that tunnel. if you follow her directions and you're lucky, you come out the other side and you have a normal dog. You need anything and it's no problem. So thank you for that, Dr. Donna.
You are welcome.
We will talk again soon. It's wonderful to spend time with you. And I think Addie will be a much happier girl when we get a little of that Incurin natural estrogen alongside her Proen. Thank you so much.
Yep. Take care.